Karsten.
Out there. Nobody wants to come out. They were ready for, they all had their shorts unpacked and their long stuff put away, and then it snowed again.
Yeah. First one that walks in has got to say the prayer, Karsten. I'm teasing. I already asked Sam. How you doing?
Good. Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Thanks, man. Yours is too.
Oh yeah, you guys are twinners.
Karsten, what you doing, Mason?
Yeah. Karsten, I went to.
Hi.
Went to lunch or dinner sometime the other day at La Villa, and I'm like, man, I should have called Karsten.
Oh, that's right.
That deal.
Hi, Nicole.
We get extra points because we're here.
Yeah. Gold star. We're rolling, Commissioner, whenever you're ready.
Ready? We'd like to welcome everyone out to our Iron County Commission meeting this Monday, the 28th day of April, 2025. We'll begin this meeting with a prayer offered by Sam Woodall. And then following the prayer, Commissioner Robinson will lead us in the pledge.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful day, grateful to live where we live, to have the blessings that we do. We're grateful to recognize thy hand in our life in every aspect, from when we go to work to when we go home to the silver linings that are seen throughout. We ask today, Father, that would bless us with thy spirit here, that we can do good work, discuss the county business, and be able to make good progress. We're thankful for all that thou hast given us, and we offer this prayer humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go ahead and look at approving the minutes. What was the date on those?
Oh, it was April 14th.
I got the supplement notice on that.
Piece of glasses. I got some in my truck. I can go get some.
I think I got some in my truck. Like, I got no glasses and on my pen. Post.
Probably scratched up and they roll around in my.
That's mine too.
And they get all scratched up.
That's how mine are.
So, any comments on the minutes?
What was the date again, John?
April 14th. So, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes of the April 14th meeting.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's go ahead and approve the claims for payment from April 1st, 2025 to April 27th, 2025.
That's been changed, but I'll make a motion to approve claims for payment from April 14th to April 27th.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded to pay the bills. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. We'll now go to our departmental reports. Start with Karsten, our assessor.
A couple things that I want to make you aware of. The primary, the DMV, as you know, the bill that was proposed didn't pass, but I just kind of want to give you a little bit of insight and perspective as to what the challenges are that we're facing in Iron County at the DMV. Just in the last 2 years, the number of transactions, it used to be that most of the transactions that they did at the DMV were renewals, and those are kind of simple. Renewals largely are done online, not exclusively, but most people, renew online, and they do a ton of title work now. But the number of transactions per day on average exceeds 100 transactions per person in Cedar. And so we finally had to tell the dealers in St. George to stop sending their dealer work just because we couldn't accommodate it and accommodate the public. So we're not doing St. George dealer work anymore.
Why would they do that, Carson?
They do it just because we get it done quickly, and so, but it's, you know, with the
curse of good service, is that?
Yeah, it is a curse of good service, actually, because it just gets done really quickly. They're really good at what they do and get it back to them quickly, and in Washington County, they have to wait, and they don't like that, so. But it's, you know, they're on, I mean, last week, I think they had a day where they had 600 people that they served, and I mean, even Parowan, which we've only averaged 8 to 12 transactions a day historically, just in the last year, has not quite doubled, but you know, we're almost doing 18 to 20 a day on average. So we're stretched pretty thin. They're just in Cedar, they are just sun up to sundown, either doing dealer work. There's just not a second of downtime, and it's going to come to a point as we grow that we're going to, you know, we probably already should have added someone, but they will need, unless we're, you know, willing to let the public just kind of, you know, shoulder a little bit of that.
Do we have room to add another person in that office?
If we close off the one kind of breezeway space and add a desk there, we could add maybe a part-time person.
You just have to go through the door to get in the
Yeah. Back. But Tara's asked for another part-time person over the last year or so there, just because they're so bombarded that it's kind of become just a challenge, even for them to go to lunch. You know, it's really a tough thing for them to leave just because they have so many people. But it's just something to kind of be aware of. There's a real strain on the Cedar DMV and the service provided there. There's a lot more title work. There's a lot more transactions. They're averaging a ton, and it's a challenge that probably needs to be addressed at some point. And of course, that's a budget issue, and just wanted to make you aware of that. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is Braden Beaumont. You know, he's been here almost 6 years, and just I think he started in 2019, and just passed his licensing test, his test for licensing, so he will be a licensed appraiser. But just to put that in perspective, that's 5 years of hours and work it's monumental. If you think about any other license in the state to get a license, my own license took me 5 years, 4.5 years. It's a little bit of a more streamlined process to get licensed, but yeah, Braden just got licensed. Latanya's soon to follow, and we'll have a couple more after that. We got Chris there now as a trainer, and Brian is also a trainer, and so trying to get some of these people licensed, but it is a huge process, a huge undertaking to get a license. So kudos to Braden. He's super diligent, super hardworking. They all are, but that is really an incredible feat to get to the point where you can pass a test, which is difficult to pass. I think the last person was Kyle, and that was maybe 8 years ago. So
is Kevin a licensed appraiser as well?
Kevin's a licensed trainee. He has a broker's license and's taught appraisal classes, but not there. But he's pretty close to. And then last thing was just the last year we had obviously lots of challenges with the tax roll and Puma, and this year we anticipate being done about a week or so early with our tax roll. So hopefully we won't have any issues there. I talked to Luke and let him know that we'd be rolling on time. So hallelujah for that. But And in terms of our budget, we're just pretty much on par with what we were last year. The only slight strain is just we have a little bit of an additional education burden, and so from the state we have to do a few more classes than we normally did, but we budgeted for that, and so we should be good. So if you have any questions.
So the bill that you worked on this year that did not pass. That to have the state step up and pay us more for what we do?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It passed. It went out of the Senate, and then for whatever reason in the House, it got kiboshed. I'm not sure why or what.
Do we make enough, like if we were to add another part-time employee, do we make enough to justify that? Can we pay their salary and benefits?
Well, we don't take in enough from the state. You know, the contract we have with the state is like 20-something years old. And so, it doesn't even pay for our current administrative.
And that's what you're trying to do with that bill, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, we don't.
Is that SB 59?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so.
Did it get voted down?
You know, I don't understand why it got voted. It got voted down, but I don't know why. And nobody else seems to quite understand why. Because there
were choices to say, hey, you guys come and get it, take it back, or.
Basically,
have that choice, right?
We have that choice. They've sort of just indicated that they would just shut it down because they don't have a facility to move into. They don't have the, you know, there's not a. They would force everyone to go to St. George, and. You know, that's
crazy. They won't step up.
Yeah, so it's a little bit challenging. So I'm going to work on that this year to apply a little bit more. I guess I need to go meet with more of the legislators.
Rex and Carl in support of that.
They were. Yeah, it's just and there was a lot of support for it, and then it just, you know, it's one of those things where you have no clue why.
It could have been that they had over 800 bills this year.
Yeah, could
might
be a
not
lot
have
of
gotten to
things,
it.
But yeah, that's. What's going on? So,
well, let us know what we can do to help you.
Seemed like UAC was quite supportive of that bill.
Yeah, they were super supportive. Brandy did a couple interviews with us that were podcast and publicized for the legislators to watch, but it didn't pass. So,
and I had conversations with UAC during, you know, back and forth. They called and they said, "Guy, we feel like we have it worked out. You guys are going to be happy with it," and then.
I remember having those conversations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it went down.
Yeah. Well, we in Iron County, we need the help. So we're going to try again this next year and might need to enlist you guys to help us to get that redrafted and submitted and passed. So, okie dokie. Thank you.
Thanks, Kirsten. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see. Let's go to IT.
Morning, Commissioners. Good to be here and chat with you. I don't have a whole lot, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of throw out some numbers for you, just kind of end of year numbers from last year. See, now I missed my report last time, so I'll kind of get you caught up on that a little bit, and then you guys can fire away and ask any questions you want of me. But in 2024, we had 3,877 work orders completed, which was an average of just over 320 per month. So that kept us good and busy. This year, we're actually a little bit lower on pace on that. We're averaging about 290. It's just over that work orders for this year. We're staying extremely busy. We do have currently, which is good and bad both, we got 250 currently open work orders that we're working on with our staff. So you can see kind of how busy we are in trying to prioritize those to get them done in a proper order, which not everybody agrees on. So we try to keep everybody happy that way. Some of the other numbers that are kind of interesting, pulled a report just the other day. This is for the last 7 days. This is how many connections that were blocked coming into our network. In the last 7 days, we had 8,875,290 blocked connections coming through. So you can see that we're getting hammered. We did have one that was an actual ransomware that came through, but we're happy to know that we caught that, quarantined it, and it never did affect our systems. So we're really glad to be able to do that. We love working with the state, SIAC, they're really, really good. we get daily notifications from them, and so we're always updating everything in the background just to make sure that we're staying safe and protected on those. So we really appreciate that part. As far as some of the bigger projects we've had over the last just three, four, 5 months, is you'll see a lot of the website's been updated. Jager's been working really hard on that. He's been trying to get with most of the departments. Departments are just as busy as we are, so we totally get it. But we've got those kind of updated. The fair, the sheriff's site, and then the main county site are the three main ones that you'll see have a big facelift. And we're still trying to massage those and make them, you know, as good as we can. It's kind of hard to cater to everybody's needs on that. You can see the homepage. You noticed over the last about a month, the buttons have increased a lot on the homepage, which we're hoping to not clutter it up too much. But it is very important for the people to get the information they need. So we recognize that as well. And then the big one, too, that we're seeing a lot, Kendall. I've actually had to kind of tell him to slow down because he's just doesn't have enough hours in the day to get everything done. But he's currently got the parcels. He's got applications for the road department, the zoning with Terry back there, and then the assessor's office. He's kind of written house applications for every one of those, and he's trying to manage those, and then he's trying to add some more. I know weeds he's been trying to work on as well, and a few others. And the Maytag sale map, he's been doing that. So there's quite a bit that he's doing, and I've told him, I'm like, especially with the weeds, Amber's probably gonna be really upset with me, but I told him, I was like, you're gonna have to put that one on hold. It's like, we got too much other stuff going on that we'll have to tackle that one when we actually get some time, and he's available for it. So that just kind of paints a picture of where we're at and what we're doing. I'm pretty excited. We don't have a whole lot of downtime, which means that we're staying on top of stuff in the background that you guys don't see. Once we start having downtimes, when I start to worry, that means that we're not staying on top of stuff like we should be. So, but yeah, that's kind of my report. Budget looks pretty good. We are a little bit concerned about tariffs. We've noticed computer costs per computer has gone up about $200 per computer. So we'll hopefully either mitigate and not replace some computers, or hopefully the tariffs will go away a little bit and we can afford some or find some alternatives. We're kind of looking around everywhere on those, but kind of is what it is. We'll move forward. So
speaking of ransomware, I'm on the behavioral health board for Fife County. Mm-hmm. We got hit last year with that.
Yeah,
it's hit hard, and they wanted $1 million, and we didn't give them anything. But they had our information. We rebuilt everything. Mm-hmm. It was a mess, but yeah. They got access to all of our data. And
it's really been interesting over the years to watch how ransomware has developed. Like when it first came out, they would hit you. You'd make the payment, and it wasn't millions; it was thousands.
Right.
You make the payment, and everything was just great, no big deal. And then they started to get to the point where it's like, okay, well, we got you once. We'll leave this piece of malware in there. Now we'll get you a second time. And then they started finding out that everybody's getting insured, and it's like, well, you're insured for $4 million. We want $4 million.
Right.
And so they're really smart with what they're doing. And boy, when they get in, yeah, they lock you down. You start over, and you hope it doesn't affect your backups, which, you know,
because it can be in your backups, right? Correct. Yeah, they can just trigger it.
Mm-hmm. That's the hard part. The hardest part is to identify when that ransomware gets in there, because it'll sit dormant for.
Can you find it? Is it hard to find?
With the software and everything, is getting a lot easier to find. But when you find it is when they actually trigger it, and so then you start seeing an executable run. And then that's when our software will notify us, and then we have to start going in there and blocking and shutting things down to make sure it doesn't just start spreading. So we actually, we've gone through a couple. We had CISA come in, and this is about 6 months ago or so. And we had them come in prior to that. It was about 2 years ago, and they actually had them run analysis on our system. And he was telling us about how bad we were going to be and everything else, and I was pleasantly surprised of how well we had done in blocking incoming traffic. So we had, I think in all the scans he ran, I think he identified two different areas, ports and things that we needed to block that weren't. Most people were up in the hundreds on those. So we are really, like, we've probably got some sad public, especially anybody that's outside the United States. I know Nicole deals with them. Yeah, they, from New Zealand, usually there's somebody from New Zealand, which unfortunate, you know, they can't pay their taxes online because we block them. And I'll be quite honest, I'm not going to open it up either. Once I open that one, then it just opens it up for a lot more stuff. So those individuals there, where I feel sorry for them that they can't just make the easy payment online, which would be really nice, but there is other avenues, and Nicole's great to work with on that too, but it keeps us safe. But yeah, the ransomware is it's a tough one. So wish they would spend their time doing good things instead of instead of trying to hit us all. But
any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Nicole?
Sure.
Thank you, madam.
We still help her out of.
Thank you.
We just do it for them. So
thanks.
We'd rather not have.
Thank you.
Bad people in our software. So. Oh, I better put my eyes on. You all have your handouts this morning. So the first one I gave you is just our product sales. So it just shows, of course, we're in our quiet time of collecting. But we've still, since the first of the year, collected over $7 million. So we're busy doing personal property right now. 3 years ago, we started helping and collecting the personal property. And that's going really good. And Nicole is super good to work with. Teresa, and she's been helping a little bit and learning how to even put the value on a little bit this year, so that's been good for her. She's been super willing to jump in and try to learn and be helpful, and hopefully that takes a little bit of pressure off Teresa. I know she's super busy right now, but we're doing really good that far. The next one is just the tax money that comes to the county, of course. Super low at this point, 836. This month will go up a little bit. We've been getting some of our personal property payments in, so that should help out a little bit. And then our pool cash is just our overall where we are in our bank accounts. We're still nice and strong, doing really well. We're earning around $240,000 a month in interest. With our bank balances, so that's super helpful to all of our funds. We share it with all the funds based on what the fund balance is, so that's been super helpful the last few years for the county. Our PTF rate is still pretty decent. Last time I reported it was at 4.73. It's down to 4.48, but it's holding pretty good. So far this year, just in our one general PTIF, we've earned $676,000 in interest. Morton, we have some long-term investment with them, and we've earned about $241,000. Our outstanding taxes are doing pretty good. We're at $2.5 million. Last year at this time, we were at $13.5 million. So we're glad to see that coming down, and we're trying to work really hard to keep that going in the right direction. Our Maytax sale, we started with 109, and we are down to 64 today. We have four homes that are still on. A couple are still in the process of paying, but one of them isn't really a home. It's just kind of a building. It's here in Parowan, but a really nice property, but we just can't find the people. We think they're probably deceased. So, but we're still trudging along and trying to track them down the best that we can. We have one guy who's incarcerated in our jail that his place is going to tax sale. So we did have Shalon notify him and verified that he's been informed. So we're not sure what will happen with that one. We're a little bit nervous about that one just because of the situation and the people rotating in and out of there. So I'm a little bit worried about someone buying that and what they may encounter when they go to the property. So we may have to work a little bit on that one. But I've been working the last couple of weeks a lot on our PIDs. So far, Cedar City has approved 9. And a lot of them are just collecting a special assessment. Those I'm not super worried about. They're paying those as they're selling the lot. But right now we have 3 that will be collecting a tax levy. And when you say, like they're approving them at 6 mills with Cedar City, and they can approve them up to 15 mils. And I think they think, oh, 6 mils, that's not terrible. That's not that bad. But I looked at Commissioner Robinson's house. So if you were to get to pay a PID, a couple of them are up in Schertz Canyon. So your taxes last year were $2,378. If you had a PID with 6 mils, it would add $1,834. And your total tax bill would go up to $4,213. So it nearly doubles what their taxes are. I hope they understand this. I hope Cedar City understands the tax impact it will have. I did call and talk to their treasurer last week and sent them some PowerPoints and information on the PIDs and what it does to the taxes based on the value of someone's home. And also talk to them a little bit about there needs to be some education. One of the PID developers, I tracked him down last week. We had a conversation. He has no idea how the taxing cycle works. He was like, oh, I think we're just going to add that tax as we sell the lots. It's not how that works. When you levy the tax, it goes to the whole area. And so I just talked to them, and I think there needs to be some education, whether Cedar City starts doing that or if they get them in contact with me, so that they are aware really of how the taxing cycle works and the dates that they have to have that information to Luke for him to get the tax rates to the tax commission. So I feel like lots of education needs to happen. He was super shocked by everything that I told him. So we need to work harder on making sure people really understand what's happening with these public infrastructure districts. So my budget is super good. Of course, I love to wait and spend all my money at the end, but so far we're doing really well, and my people work super hard. They don't complain. They just get in and do whatever they're asked to do. Try to be kind and good to the public, who sometimes is not kind and good to us, so, but they really do their best, and I appreciate them so much. But any questions or good?
Thank you.
No, thanks.
Commissioner Robinson, you want to go?
Sure. Had several meetings last couple of weeks. 2 at the jail site, going over that and seeing the progress on that and discussing the lifting that up and making sure we're getting good compaction on that to make sure that we have a good solid foundation for that building. Had another meeting with the 25-year outlook for the fairgrounds and went over part of that plan, and unfortunately I missed the link on that and on a second meeting and was not able to get in on that, and my email was messed up and I couldn't sign in on that meeting, so I need to get with Jamie today on that one. Had a meeting out at Iron Springs Resort about the inland port and talking about the possibilities or the future of the inland port and what's going to happen in that area.
out in the Iron Springs area. Had Congresswoman Malloy there with us, so that was very good. A lot of the Cedar City mayor and council was there. And one question I didn't bring up at the time that I wish I should have, or I wish I would have brought it up, was what commitment do they have or are going to have from UP? Because my personal experience with being a customer of UP is less than spectacular. And so until UP decides to make some serious commitments, that's where I see the bottleneck of that project. And that's about it.
Okay, thank you.
Just looking at my calendar, I know I was on the phone a lot with different issues over the last couple of weeks that aren't in my calendar, and I don't remember specifically what a lot of those were. A lot of my last 2 weeks was taken up in a jury trial, as well as a mental health conference that I attended, not county related. So I did attend the Inland Port update with all of us. That's the only thing I have in my calendar.
Okay.
No, I know I did a lot more, but I don't remember what was what.
Commissioner Robinson mentioned the jail. We continue to have meetings. We Platt got the final set of drawings to us where we, like Ken said, we raised that building about 2.5 feet. We just want to make sure we don't ever have water problems, so we raised that building up a little. It's going to cost us a little bit of money, but we feel like that's a really important decision to have those buildings up high. Because historically there has been some water go through that property. Horrocks is a company, an engineering company that we hired to be a liaison between us and the Union Pacific Railroad. We've got the final drawings to cross the railroad with our sewer line, 10-inch sewer line. They'll bore that, and we're just waiting for approval on that so Intellex, our excavators at the jail, can complete that. Just a note for the public, we have the 5-mile grand opening this Thursday, 1, right, Mike? Mm-hmm. And that'll be exciting. There was a question on social media about, hey, why don't we make that an overnight camping? But I texted Alm, I couldn't remember, but he said that they used to be overnight, but the Forest Service kind of said that it was too dangerous with all the flooding that had. But maybe we could revisit that now that we have a new director.
Yeah, it spoke to the real reason was the trouble with the water. I spoke with Maria last week about it.
It
became cost prohibitive to have a water system properly, and so they're discussing what they're going to do.
Without
water, you have
to. It's going to be a big deal.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about the water issue.
That was, yeah, she was expressing some frustration to me about that. So.
Yeah, that's good to know. I'd forgotten about the water problem. But yeah, the water was, turns out the well wasn't, didn't meet the specifications, and so we had to redo that and haul the water. So hopefully people can be conservation-minded there. We had a meeting this week with Terry and code enforcement on some zoning and code issues out on Lund Highway, and working through some issues there. And it's just a constant battle to balance that. We met a meeting this week with Amber Hatch, our weed supervisor, trying to find her a home. We've got a
for the weed department.
Sorry, lay your head at night.
Yeah, she's got a house. We just for the weeds. Sorry, thanks for the clarification. But we're looking to maybe add on a bay on the north end of the old roadshed building and pour a apron out front with a washout. We've got to have a washout for her chemicals, And we've got a pipe that's piped over to a clay basin that we drain oil and all that stuff into, and it's lined with clay so it doesn't perk into the soil. So that'll work good right there if we can make that happen. We're kind of getting some. I called Ron Larson, who's a local engineer. He's always been good to help us with drawings and stuff, and he's designing. He's going to reach out to CO Building Systems and see about what it would cost to add a small addition to that building on that north end. And Terry's been good to help us with that as well. I had a Zoom call with Candace Reed, public defender system and attorneys and all those things to make sure we're up to speed with all of that. That was good. She does a good job for us. Appreciate her. We had a meeting, last commission meeting, after commission meeting with Rocky Mountain Power. They're building a main transmission line from out by Three Peaks down to Purgatory. It won't have any, it's just a main line, and it's going to be a huge project. It's probably about a 10-year total plan. About half of that is just getting permits and figuring out the location where they can go through and get the easements and proper thing there. But it'll be good when they get that done, because in a power outage with the other line, they can backfeed power back up that line and feed Iron County. So that'll be a good thing for growth and for our power needs here. And then that meeting that Ken mentioned with Representative Malloy was really good. It was out to Iron Springs, and she does a good job and was really responsive to different questions that came up regarding the inland port, as well as some ag questions and other things that came up. And we appreciate her service and what she does for us. That's all I have.
I just have one more thing really quick. I talked about the new terminal expansion at the airport. That ribbon cutting will be a week from today, on May 5th. So. Okay.
What time?
I think it's at 9. Let me look and make sure. 9 a.m. at the airport. Okay. Well, that might be a lie. I have it in at both 9 and 12.
I'll bet it's
hopefully 12.
I think it's 12.
I'll bet it's 12.
I think I stuck it in at 9 as a placeholder, and then I actually got the actual invite. So it's going to be at 12.
Okay. Very hopefully good. 12. Thanks for that reminder.
Back in town by then.
And I might be out of town that day. Okay. Well, if that's everything for now, we'll adjourn till 10 o'clock.
All right.
Thank you. Ready?
Yeah.
So,
thank you, madam.
We got that where they couldn't take a certain argument from the old people. We got that quashed. Treasurers wrote a letter to
so
the
you've got a hot mic.
Signed.
Okay.
And the governor referred to that. I guess was talking to us, UAC, Friday afternoon.
So, hey, we got hot mics.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
What's that? Okay, what?
So what's he?
Okay.
We good?
Yeah.
Thank you, John. We'll resume our 10 o'clock Iron County Commission meeting. We appreciate those that joined us in this meeting. We'll go to agenda item number one, which is public comments. 3-minute time limit per speaker for public comment. Should not repeat other comments, only for items not on the agenda. If anyone would like to speak, seeing none, we will now convene as Iron County Community Development and Renewal Agency and go to item number two, consideration of tax increment reimbursement for the Buckhorn, Burl, Cedar Valley, Fiddler's Canyon, Solar, CRA, Sun Edison, Phase 1, Red Hills, Three Peaks, Granite Mountain East, Granite Mountain West, Iron Springs, Enterprise, Cove Mountain, and Cove Mountain 2, Solar Community Development Project Area for the 2024 year. And I don't see David here.
So I can speak to it. Okay. So these are the annual reimbursement requests of the existing solar. So this first one here, this is Buckhorn, and you can see on the screen. It's a 50% increment for 10 years. This will be the last year for Buckhorn, it looks like. What we do is we verify that the agency is entitled to receive the increment payments, that we've received the actual payment. The facility continues to operate. The proof of that is the receipts from the utility company, that they've paid their taxes, and that they are requesting their increment share, which in this case is 50%. So that's this particular one. And then we've got Burl, which is similar. It was actually done at the same time. Cedar Valley, which is also similar. And if you'll notice, it's wherever my mouse is, that's a 10-year increment, 50%. Fiddler's Canyon is another one of those. And that's 38.5, and that goes through 2028. This is Sun Edison Phase 1, which is another one of the small ones early on had 10-year increment and 50%. And then the big ones all pretty much look like this. So this is Red Hills Renewable. This is the one here in Perrin Valley. So it's about 340,000. Solar panels, it's 80 megawatts, 630 acres, 15 years of increment, and it goes until 2029. And David has verified that all of these are meeting the requirements as outlined. These requirements come from the project area plan. So there's quite a few documents that come through when a big solar farm gets put into place. But the project area plan dictates the terms of the increment, the rebate that happens. And what they do is they pay their taxes. Most of it is personal property, which is the actual equipment and stuff. And then they get the increment based on the growth over what it was when they started. So most of them started as like Greenbelt. And so there's the value from that up until the, you know, the completion of the project. And that is what they call the growth. And then they get a rebate on the incremental growth. They don't get a rebate on what the value was before, but it's very minimal. And then they all have a schedule. And so in the case of Red Hills, this is 2015 to 2029. It was 15 years at 70%. We've had a lot of internal discussion about this. I think we're going to try and bring you some more information broadly on solar and try and really pin down what our experience has been on solar as more people are wanting to come to Iron County so that the commissioners can make a decision. But today's item is simply to approve or not the increment as outlined in the project area plans that Iron County Redevelopment and Renewal Agency has already agreed to. This is basically making sure that they check off all of these boxes, you know, that they develop the facilities, that the fees have been paid, the ad valorem taxes have been paid, the compliance with the conditional use permit.
And we know that all this has been done.
Yeah, and so David, and it's kind of too bad he's not here, but David goes through all that before that comes to commission. So all of these criteria are met, and then we actually, we'll get them to you to sign, but each one of these is a form. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be a spot for the chair to sign, and a spot for the secretary of the Iron County Community and Redevelopment Agency. And we, before any reimbursement is paid, we make sure that all those boxes are checked. And that's...
I know you had a question, John. It seems like in our last meeting, when they have to replace a solar panel.
Yeah, I've never gotten an answer on that.
You haven't?
Mm-mm. I don't think they want to. I think from an accounting perspective, it would be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel strongly because of the aggressive depreciation schedule that they benefit from, that any panels that are replaced need to start over on that schedule. You know, if you've got 340,000 panels on an 80-megawatt project and you replace 10,000 of them, that's fairly significant from our perspective because... One of the things that happened after a lot of these came online was that change to how they were valued.
We have a right to audit their...
I'm not sure how that works. They're not centrally assessed, so they're actually assessed by our... got the HVAC guys there. They're assessed by our auditors, our assessor's office. But a lot of it is self-reporting, and so I don't know, like on personal property, what we can do. That's really a question for Karsten, and I don't know, I'm not sure how that looks. Okay. It's a good question, though, because that might expose some of that. But again, Nicole's standing up.
It's okay. Teresa said she's actually talked to the tax commission about them coming down and auditing our solars, but they have kind of been reluctant, not had an appetite to come down and do it. That might be something we want to talk to the tax commission maybe next week about, seeing why they're hesitant to come and do an audit. So
I think it'd be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Very beneficial to us.
Thank you. Looks like they had to replace a belt. But anyway, so this is kind of a separate deal. This is something that the renewal Iron County Agent Development Renewal Agency has agreed to. So this is the case where they have to apply by April 1st, and they've done that. And then they actually pay this in May, and so it they will get the reimbursement now about 11 months later from because that's a schedule for personal property.
So we're basically, we have an agreement, and as long as they meet all the criteria, we're obligated to.
Yes, and David wouldn't bring this forward if they hadn't.
Okay.
And this, so this, and this, so Danny Stewart and I kind of developed these forms so that we could identify the criteria of each project, the dates and everything, and actually have a record that we, we have a record for every year's reimbursement that happens so that we, What we found was that some agencies will just pay out the increment without asking any questions, and we're like, well, we need to at least make sure that they're I mean, it's not complicated, not compared to other, you know, like Lynn's. The Lynn's redevelopment area is way more complicated than this because it's just, are you operating? Is it built? Have you paid your taxes? With a few variations, and so these are quite simple. But we do have a record every year of having gone through this. And exercise is the wrong word, but this double check and then approval by the agency for that increment for each year. And it's actually been good. It catches, if they're not following through, then, you know, because we've had some that weren't in operation quite yet or whatever, and they want, you know, reimbursement. But we want to make sure that we're holding their feet to the fire. And that's what this is about, kind of the tail end of that process.
So we just need to need a motion and vote on it.
I would move for approval of tax increment reimbursement for the Buckhorn, Burl, Cedar Valley, Fiddler's Canyon, Solar, CRA, Sun Edison Phase 1, Red Hills, Three Peaks, Granite Mountain East, Granite Mountain West, Iron Springs, Enterprise, Cove Mountain, and Cove Mountain 2 Solar Community Development Project Area for the 2024 year.
Second that.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We will now reconvene as the Iron County Commission and go to agenda item number 3, discussion and possible approval of the yearly fraud risk assessment for year ending 2024. Lucas Little, our auditor.
Good morning. So in light of our audit coming up, not this week, but next week, so Monday morning, we'll have Kimball and Roberts accounting firm out of Monroe, Richfield area. They'll be here doing our annual audit. And so they come for a couple of days, meet with a couple different departments, go through all of our accounting ledgers, assets, review payments we've made, payments we received, and do our audit, put together the financial statements, and then we submit those to the state by the end of June. So there is this fraud risk assessment that we also submit to the state every year. So pretty, you know, something we do every year. The only change this year from last year was the very last item, which says, does the entity have a formal audit committee? We have had one in the past. The last time they met was in 2021 when we were getting a new accounting firm to do our audit. We had used a different one previously, and we had put it out to bid, got a new one, and they had met to discuss that. I want to get it a little more formal and meet with them at least once, maybe twice a year, talk about how the county's doing, see if the committee thinks we should do audits of any certain departments within the county, and then also talk about the accounting firm we're using to do our audit as well. I think we do have contract with Kimball and Roberts through next year, and then we may be putting out to bid to get a new one after that. So I didn't feel it would be probably 100% appropriate marking that, but our score overall still is in the low category. We do have a separation of duties between mainly my office and the treasurer's office, with multiple employees being involved. We have different employees that do our accounts payable versus the accounts receivable. And then another one that does payroll. And then the treasurer's office, they reconcile all of the bank accounts. So my office is receiving and paying money, but then their office is watching the bank statements, reconciling them, and approving checks and payments as well. So we do have that separation of duties and overall a low risk. So yeah, that's our fraud risk assessment. We'll upload this on the state website. So that's required to be done every year. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to approve that.
Make a motion to approve yearly fraud risk assessment for the year ending 2024.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. And Luke, number four, discussion and possible approval of the 2025 Iron County fee schedule.
Okay, also kind of in relation to our audit, we have a fee schedule that is posted on the website for all the different departments throughout the county, like the clerk's office. They have passports, marriage licenses, and what those fees are. Our planning and zoning for building permits, they have a lot of different fees. The fair department with renting out the building, just different things like that. So this seven pages with all the different departments listed, services they provide and what their relating fees are. The last time this was approved was in 2022, and when the auditors come, they always ask if we reviewed this fee schedule and kind of updated it, have it on our website, make sure it's available to the citizens, and make sure it's, you know, not super old and it is updated. So we'll probably update this every 2-3 years, just at least email all the departments, make sure their fees are still correct. August in my office, she did this. So she reached out to all the different departments, got their updated fees. Some of them had no changes, some of them had changes, and then some of them had services maybe they weren't offering before. Like with the fair, they didn't have as many options or details that they have now included. So yeah, we have that all updated, and once that approved, we'll have it on the website. Yeah, any questions on that? If there's anything specific you want to reach out to that department head for, and I don't have all the details and reasoning on some of them, but
Luke, I should know this, but yeah. Do we know where this is on the website?
You don't I don't know right it? Off the top of my head, but
find it while you're talking. How's that?
Okay.
Say again. Okay.
Yeah, so on his part of the website, it probably just has his section. There is another section where it has everything listed, but we'll update. I'll have Jager update your section and then the master list as well.
Okay.
Awesome.
So. Okay. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the 2025 Iron County fee schedule.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Luke, yes, I signed that. Thank you. Number five, discussion and possible approval of a contract for janitorial custodial services for the Iron County facilities in Parowan and Cedar City. Terry.
Good morning, Commissioners. I think John has included this with your stuff because I gave him the packet last week to get it on the agenda. We have discussed this before with our many complaints from the different apartments and buildings that we maintain and try to keep clean within a contract. This current contract that we are under right now, we have issued, it was about 16 months ago, I think. They promised the world to us, and they have not stepped up to give us half of what Iron County So we've had lots of complaints. I've got a couple more complaints. Our biggest complaints are in critical areas that are regulated behind locked doors, public safety building, 911, highway patrol, APNP, driver's license. We've got many complaints from them and justice courts. They're just not doing the cleaning that we have right now on the current one. So we put an RFP out 2 weeks ago, listed it at the state website, the county website, posted it at the courthouse here, and posted it at the courthouse or the Justice Center in Cedar. And we had three bids come back in to us from three different companies after following the RFP request requirements. We had one from Made Perfectly Clean, one from Crystal Clean, and then one from Real Clean Janitorial. The prices varied quite a bit from there. The current contract we have right now for cleaning is for annual is $114,000 for the year. The three that come in currently, the low bid was $133,000. Just shy of $134,000, I think. Didn't bring my glasses, sorry, Mike. Just shy of $139,000 from Crystal Clean. Made Perfectly Clean is $156,000, and then Real Clean is $178,000 for the year. As we talked before, services are going up, cleaning, everything's going up, supplies and stuff going up. But we, with a dissatisfaction of all the people we have that we're cleaning from all of our buildings, the five buildings, we've got the Justice Center, Public Safety Building, the Visitor Center, Office Building at the Visitor Center, Public Safety, and this courthouse here, we've got the buildings. We have not been getting the services we need. The current company has called in many a nights and not shown up many nights. They've called and had Thane and Landon try to take care of some issues, refill the stock stuff that the current company is just not taking care of.
And I'll say we met with this current contracted on January 7th of this year. That contract had been in place for several months at that time, and we'd had some complaints. We met with them in person again. They were very enthusiastic about what they could offer, but at that time we did say, really, it just can't keep happening, and it has continued to happen. So from our contract perspective, we believe we've given them an adequate opportunity to cure, and that's not come to fruition. So,
thank you, Sam.
Appreciate Sam, how that. Does that work when we have these companies clean like your office, where it's sensitive, you know, information and things that are, I mean, how does that work?
So right now our liaison is Lori Eichelberger at the Justice Court. She takes care of all of the background stuff because that's, does the sheriff's office have one as well?
Sheriff's is under their own. I think Mike and them take care of their own in-house. I'm not sure if they have
somebody else.
Basically,
any employee this company brings, they have to get a background check to be cleared to work in those sensitive locations. So the attorney's office has actually requested that these companies not clean in our office because the turnover was so high it was becoming cumbersome. So we clean our own office, but the rest of the Justice Court building is cleaned by this company, and they have to go through background checks with Lori. And the same for the sheriff's office.
So do you still plan to clean your own office?
Correct, yeah.
And so are they bidding their office or not?
Their office is out of it. It did not. Right. Was not part of the contract.
So we're not paying for it if we're not cleaning.
So yeah. I met with Lori earlier last week. I ran into her and had this same conversation, and she indicated that they were going to probably start cleaning their own office as well.
They have talked about that, but with the turnover that the current company has, they've had so much turnover. With the new company, the new one that we would propose, they are right now doing cleaning services at the Senior Center in Cedar, and Stephanie there is pleased phenomenally with that. Jennifer, I think, has visited with them too. Everybody's very happy with their cleaning services now. And they've promised us that they wouldn't have the turnover. So Lori says that she would give them 6 months to get everything worked out if we do change. Mm. And then if it doesn't work out, we would take Lori's out of the contract services there, which Lori's, the attorneys, Highway Patrol, APNP, trying to remember, they all have to have the background screening done. If Lori backs out and they do their own services into their justice courts, then we'd have to turn the background screening over to Jana Lee at the Highway Patrol through them, and they would have to do the background screening for us.
So where we have an increase in our cleaning, do we pass that, like for the public safety building, do we pass that along to the tenants?
Yes, that is part of their cleaning. I think that is part of their contract that's additional.
Can that contract be modified midstream, or does that, do we have to wait till it comes up for renewal? Or
we can approach our people that lease from us about amending. It would have to be with their approval. And I think there's some precedent to be had for making those types of amendments. Sometimes we write it in. I'm not sure if we have it in all of them.
Yeah, we just going through the books at the end of the year, getting ready for our audit, looking at the rent we receive for the different buildings. I think we need to go through and maybe update a couple of them, see if we can increase that revenue. For this reason, I mean, we've done a lot of repairs. We replaced the floor in that building, bunch of conduit, and so it's been the same, I don't know, for several years, at least the last 5 years. So that was one thing I wanted to plan on this year, is getting that rent updated.
The most recent lease agreement we have with juvenile probation in the 5th District Court across from our offices, they have a graduated scale. We've already contemplated increased rent from them. It's the same for this year, this coming year, but then after that it goes up, and then it'll stay the same after so many years. But, yeah, that's something that we can address with other agreements.
Yeah, the main one I was looking at was the public safety building behind the jail. The other ones aren't too big a deal. But
I mean, I know during budget time we contemplated the benefits of continuing with contracted services versus just bringing everything in-house. And I think we said, if I remember right, I'm just off the top of my head, that we'd kind of visit that mid-year and see where things were. What do you think?
When I looked at the just numbers-wise, it was pretty close. I mean, it was still more favorable to contract it out. I mean, especially starting up where we'd have to buy equipment, especially if we did the lawns, we'd have to buy mowers and that. But yeah, I think.
And then you've got the headache of staffing and hiring, and
right.
And then you got to
turnover and all that.
My feeling is, if it got crazy enough to look it out, I don't know. Otherwise, it just seems like you create a department like that, and it kind of grows and
grow, right?
And we have talked about that is a big concern there with trying to keep people hired right now, especially. Government, they say, is not the best place to work for anymore, but I think it still offers enough that I'm with Luke right now. I don't know that it pencils out to go through and change it over just yet. I know that our increase right now would be about $40,000 if we go to the company we would prefer to go to. And through that, the one company that is on here, and I'll
Which one? So
perfectly made is the middle range one.
Is 156?
Is that 156?
So you're 156 minus the 114?
Yeah.
And it would be about 40 more. So we'd have to do a budget adjustment for that increase for this year. But with that increase, it would make it even closer or a lot, maybe even a little better to hire employees instead of contract it out with that increase. But I think over the next year or two, and depending on how this new company does, then we could really look at it and see. I mean, if we don't have good luck with them, then it's...
They furnish the supplies for that
price. Three times already.
Toilet paper, yeah. Towels.
So we do a lot of the paper stuff. We do a lot of the supplies. They do supply some of their own supplies with it.
Okay.
So we would have to look at the contract. I can't remember how it was exactly written in here, but we do supply the paper, a lot of the actual cleaning stuff.
They just do the labor and their cleaning chemicals. Even furnish all that, the cleaning chemicals?
I don't know on this one how we've got this one written, but we do supply some of the cleaning stuff because we know what we want for our appliances and our stuff there. Okay. So it might be worth looking at this year at budget to see how they do and where we fall in, because I'm pretty sure that the prices would go up again next year, just how things are going. So we might look at that in budget mid-year, before we start our budget process, and see where we're at and what they think they're at and timeline. If they do a good job, if they keep up where they are with the senior center,
We should be pleased because, like I said, Stephanie is very pleased. They promised us that they've got the staff. They will have staff. They've given us a breakdown that they will have a minimum of 2 people in each building. And public safety, they will put 4 people, I think, in that building. So we have more accountability for what is getting done in each of the buildings with this company. Whereas right now, we're lucky to see 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week maybe.
How often do they clean?
They're supposed to clean minimum five nights so that it's cleaned Monday morning through Friday. We don't dictate if they have to come in Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night, but Monday to Friday morning, that building's to be cleaned, ready for business.
And is the, I assume that the one, that the company that is going to be recommended is the one with the recommendation from Council on Aging?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and I will go over these just a little bit if you would like. The bottom, the low bid we have is they bid before.
With us before. They have cleaned with us before and under different ownership. We don't feel that they have changed after talking with them on this walkthrough that they have changed with what they feel they want to do. There's some question there because the company has been around. They did it before and they did not do a good job before. The top company, he's a newer company in town, might be okay, but I don't know that he has the staff for it right now. He's just started up new from working from another business that is extremely high. He's at $178,000 for the year, $179,000. The perfectly made, like I said, they are the middle range one there. They have worked with the COA, the Senior Center in Cedar. Stephanie's very pleased. I think Jennifer talked with her. We've talked with her, and she's been very they've been very pleased with the cleaning there, and they've written out a very detailed program with what they would do for us on that one. So that is my recommendation, is that we look at Made Perfectly Cleaning with an annual contract dollar amount of $156,000. I think that breakdown is how it breaks down into their estimate, their writing, and their contract there. And then we would work with Sam in the attorney's office to get a better contract written up for
the tenants.
Yeah. Trying to figure out the politically how to put it in there so that it's if they're not show up, if they don't do the job, that we have some recourse to come back on them. As with the current contract, we do not.
And I wonder too, Sam, if it might not hurt to do like a CIP, like a CPI adjustment each year, kind of write that in, even if we don't necessarily, I know that, you know, a lot of landlords will do that and they'll make an adjustment to rent based on the CPI each year, consumer price index. If we want to go that far, or if we want to do maybe just a one time where you're like, hey, listen, I know that like the public safety building, y'all had to do a lot of, you know, extra work and
public safety is that's a different project there.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is you've got floors, you've got things that have to be replaced.
Well, and it is, and that might be an option to look at to see if they do keep up with it, and we just carry on with it, we can do that. But a lot of the things in the public safety are not janitorial stuff that we've had issues with this year.
But the janitorial and maybe some sinking funds for. Yeah. Yep. Floors and paint and things.
Yeah, and we do have that with the public safety in their contract to have extra put out for that.
I remember having that.
But I think we need to work, like Luke says, we need to work with new contracts on some of our leases that we have in our buildings.
Great.
Okay.
Remind me the name of that.
Made Perfectly Cleaning.
Anna Hera is the owner.
$156,000. That even?
Yeah. When I calculated it out, it came out $156,000. I think that was even. Half of it's been erased, so. It was the monthly one would be $13,000. So, yeah, $156,000.
Okay. All right. I'd move for approval of contract for janitorial custodial services for the Iron County facilities in Parowan and Cedar City, awarded to Made Perfectly Cleaning in the amount of $156,000 annually.
Second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Terry.
Appreciate it.
You said all your work on that.
We will see if we can get it better and less complaints. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Jennifer, we'll go to personnel.
Good morning. Yes. In the Sheriff's Office Patrol, Ryan Turk has been selected from an internal posting and interview process to receive a promotion from a full-time Patrol Deputy 3 to a full-time Patrol Corporal beginning 4/27/2025. In Patrol as well, Michael Sanner has completed all tasks and requirements to receive a promotion from a full-time Patrol Deputy 1 to a full-time Patrol Deputy 2 beginning 4/27/2025. In Sheriff's Office Corrections, Eddie Garcia was selected from the most recent competitive interview and selection process to backfill the vacant full-time Corrections Deputy 1 position effective 4/27/2025. And Braxton Wilson has passed the required testing to receive bilingual pay effective April 27, 2025. In the Road Department, Michael Del Campo was selected from the most recent competitive interview and selection process to backfill the vacant full-time maintenance technician 1 position effective 4/28/2025. Also in Rhodes, Keenan Emley has completed all tasks and requirements to receive a promotion from a full-time maintenance worker 2 to a full-time maintenance worker 3 beginning 4/27/2025. And in the Weed Department, Staley Webster was selected from the most recent competitive recruiting and interview process to backfill the vacant seasonal weed sprayer technician position effective 4/28/2025.
Okay. Any questions on personnel? Not, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the personnel changes in the agenda.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Jennifer. County boards. I know Dennis Gray. We approved him, and he was at the last Planning Commission meeting, so he's up and going. We appreciate him serving there, and I know we have a little administrative meeting after this meeting that we need to talk about a couple administrative things, but other than that, I think anything else? I think we're good. Chair declares this meeting adjourned. Thank you.